in the name of God, in whom we are marked forever. Amen. We mark ourselves regularly with lapel pens that have our flag on them, with letterman jackets that tell you what school we go to, with shirts that tell you where we shop at. We mark ourselves with the best tennis shoes. We mark ourselves on Facebook about the cool places we eat, about the cool people we hang out with. We mark ourselves all the time. We mark ourselves with earrings and with tattoos, with mustaches or lack thereof. We mark ourselves. It's what we do. And some of us mark ourselves in a particular way, a couple of particular ways. We mark ourselves for immortality at baptism when we are marked with oil as Christ's own forever. We mark ourselves that way. That's a significant marking, a marking for immortality. We mark ourselves as well for mortality this evening with the sign of ashes on our foreheads. Mortality and immortality in the same person marked the whole of life held together. We do this. That's what we do. Within one person, we assume that we can hold together immortality and mortality. And we spend our lives kind of in a wrestling match about that reality within ourselves. We spend our times wrestling with what Thomas Merton has described as the life of a true self and the life of a false self. Always sort of dueling. It's not that one's good and one's bad. It is simply that one is about mortality and one is about immortality. There's a creative tension there if we give it room to be that, if we don't beat ourselves up for being human beings. We mark ourselves to name that that is true within each one of us, that that is the battle that we're fighting. The battle that we're fighting is to balance the reality that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are immortal. We're invited into eternal life with God. And we're mortal, citizens of this place, this time, this people. There's a tension in that. Richard Rohr has described this tension as something like the story of the inn and the stable from the Great Christmas Narrative. This notion that we spend all of our time developing a container, right? What he calls the first half of life, which is kind of the who we are, what we've accomplished, where we went to school, what our job is, who our kids and partners and spouses are, right? It's the hard stuff of a container of a life. And he suggests that is great. That's the first half of life and everyone's got to do it. You can't jump to the second half of life without it. But he suggests that if you get far enough down the road and presume that the first half of life is in fact all there is to life, and you just spend all your time tinkering with your container, that you become quite defensive of the container, right? You come to assume that that's it. That is my whole self, is this life I've created. Right? The life that I've created. And he suggests that the difference between the inn, right, where the Holy Family shows up for the Christ child to be born, and there's no room at the inn, right, because we're busy tinkering. There's no room there. It's full of us. We like it neat and tidy. We don't want Christ showing up to blow it apart. So where does Christ go? Where's the Holy Family go? Out to the stable with the animals. They're not interested in a container. Rohr suggests that if we get stuck with life in the first half, that we might try to seek out a religion that affirms that life is only a first half life. We might actually seek out a religion that affirms that that's what life is about, is building up that self. And a religion then that becomes gentle, that is always affirming, a religion that assures us that in fact we are the center of the universe. And you know what? You don't need to have room for God in your life. We'll find a religion for it. It's out there. There's several of them. He suggests that there are other options, right? And this isn't chronological. It isn't like the second half of life shows up at 40 or 50. The second half of life shows up as soon as we tumble and fall, and we discover that this self we've been building up is much more fragile than we ever imagined. It can happen when we're 10 and we experience tragedy. It can happen when we're 40 and the physical wheels start coming off. It could happen when we're 90. It could also never happen, which is its own kind of tragedy. Ken Wilber says that religion always devastates us before it consoles us. Religion always devastates us before it consoles us. True religion, and I would say Christianity is one of them, with Jesus at the center of it, true religion shows up and it paints the false self for what it is. It paints the container for what it is, which is simply a container. It reminds us that the container is only a means to an end, and the end is a relationship with God, which is the contents that the container was meant for. That's what this is all about. It's not just about asking who I am and how am I going to be in the world. It's about asking, why am I here in the first place? Why am I here? There's a word play around Ash Wednesday, right? The word humus, right? Ashes of the earth, humus, from which we get words like humility, humble, even humiliation, even the word human. And it seems to suggest that to be more fully human is to be more fully connected to the humus, or to the earth. More fully still, that to be more fully human means to be connected to everybody who comes from the same place. And we're all from the earth. And we'll be reminded here in a second, that's right where we're going back to. So we share a reality that is much more profound than the differences that we give so much power to. We share reality as humus. We are dirt. And God has given each of us, whether we like it or not, whether we like everyone or not, God has given each of us, from the dirt, the gift of life. And here we are on a journey together. We can decide if we're going to fight it out and divide, or we can decide if we're going to connect and walk the journey together. Those are two options. I think those are really the only two options. And Ash Wednesday suggests we've got an option during Lent to choose the latter. To get on board with the notion that to be more fully human is to be more connected with one another. Because we're from the same place, we're headed to the same place, we are given the gift of life from the same God. There's justice in that, there's ethics in that. There's a deep sense of compassion in that, because if we're honest with ourselves, we know how tough it is to fight the fight of immortality and mortality within the same life. We know how hard it is to hope. We know how heavy a burden it is to risk loving the wrong people. We know how heavy a burden it is to proclaim that we do believe that God's promise of life as a victory over death is true. That is a profound burden, and we don't just proclaim it at church, we're each of us fighting it out within ourselves. When we ask ourselves the basic question, what's my legacy? What's the big stuff I'm living for? Why am I here ultimately? What is my legacy in this world? How am I contributing to what God is up to in the world? Right? When you get to the big questions, you might start to get a little sick to your stomach. Because it's heavy stuff. And we're each of us fighting that out in our own lives. So when we mark ourselves at Ash Wednesday, here's the interesting thing about this. When we mark ourselves at Ash Wednesday, it says don't just go practice your piety out in public as if you're self-righteous. Self-righteous would be saying we're going to mark ourselves to set ourselves apart from everyone else. What we actually do when we mark ourselves at Ash Wednesday is we set ourselves back among humankind. We ground ourselves fundamentally in the human experience, which is the experience of wrestling with this tension between immortality and mortality. When we mark our foreheads and we can see everyone with an ashen cross on their foreheads around us, it is a way of saying, I know you. I know you. I know exactly what's happening inside your heart. Because you know what? It's happening to me too. And we're in it together. We're in it together. That's what Ash Wednesday's about. We mark ourselves so that we can know each other and that we risk being known to everyone else here. As people who might think we've got it all together, we've got this beautiful container, but the truth is, we are each on a journey. We don't know what God's doing with us. We don't know what anyone's wrestling with here. And so the best thing we can do is say, I know you, I'm with you, I have deep compassion for you. You will not experience me running away, no matter how hard your journey is. And I hope you'll stick around with me too. That's what Ash Wednesday is about. Knowing one another and being known. Risking naming the truth about what's happening inside each one of us. Are we up for it? It's a big risk.